Welcome, Jeannie. Can you hear me? Is this good right here? Okay. Hi, everyone. It is wonderful to be back. I wanted to thank you for just having me here. And I have to say, all of you make mommyhood looking real good. You girls are beautiful, and all ages of women, these babies, makes me miss when my kids were that age. So let me just really quick do a little introduction. I did speak here last year on nutrition, healthy meals. That is my background. That is my passion. But Jill Fawcett messaged me last week, and I only had 1 week to prepare, and I was debating whether to talk about the same things I did last year or bring in something that I've been able to speak at other MOPs and church groups, which is the theme of a healthy, balanced women of God that we all are. And my shirt should say that I'm a work in progress, but I am here to communicate God's message of what he has done in my life. And I think it's for you. I meditated on it, I prayed about it, and I thought, you know what? They can talk to me after about cookbooks and healthy foods, but for now, I think this is a really pertinent message for all of us in this season. Living in Orange County, you know, God placed us here. It's a beautiful place to live, but there's a lot of hustle and bustle. And I just want to speak from my heart, give a slight little testimony of who I am and where I came from, and kind of why I was doing the things I was doing, and give you strategies that I've learned. So really quickly, a introduction. I think the next slide is, I'm new to PowerPoint. So back in teaching, I have to like get with this technology, so bear with me. This is my family. Sorry if it's a little blurry, but my husband Dave is a teacher by day in at Estancia High School, and he's a professor by night, and he works at Concordia at night and then Saddleback College. So we are a busy family. Two boys, 13 years old. My son Simon's in seventh grade, and my youngest son Benjamin is in first grade. He's seven, so seven, almost 13. I am a certified health coach by Dr. Sears Wellness Institute. I have a fitness background, and I'm gonna kind of explain how God pivoted my life and put a career in my lap that I did not ask for, but he knew that it was the right thing for me. Little history on me. Okay. I am a child of a divorced family. My father left me when I was one. My mom had three kids. When I was eight, my mom married my stepdad, and he raised me for the rest of my life. My mom and my stepdad were very good models of working hard, really, really hard. My mom had to hustle being a single mom, and I watched that, and I learned that if I worked really hard, that's kind of how I got things done. And I think the imprint on my life started at that time when I kind of learned how to be Martha really well. But what happened is that that's how I found my identity. I found my identity in working super, super hard at, you know, sports and school and getting the good grades that I kind of lost who I was. And that was just as a child. That imprint lasted all the way through college. And in college, I worked two jobs. I had a full load, because of course there was no downtime, because I had to maintain that lifestyle of working hard. And being, you know, that's kind of helped me feel accepted. Not that my parents ever did that to me. That was something that I just was observing, and it manifested in a form of like Martha gone crazy. So leads me to my next slide. Let's see how smooth I can do this. A quote that is we've all heard, if the enemy can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And, you know, I maybe was a little naughty here and there, but I wasn't bad. You could not corrupt me. I'm a sinner, but I focused my attention on busy. So in college, I had a little bit of a breakdown, and it reminds me of a Concordia professor who said, on the first day of my teaching credential, he said, it stuck with me, he said, you're never going to be the best mom, the best teacher, the best friend, the best daughter. Something's going to give. And that resonated with me, and I remember thinking, what does that look like for me? Because I'm going to make it all, they're all going to be okay. I'm going to give 110%. But you can't give 110% to everything, because it starts to wear on your well-being. And because in my life now, in my 40s, is wellness. that's why I feel like I have a message to say to help people, if it resonates with one person, to get well from the inside and don't feel like you have to attain 110% every area of your life. Okay, next slide. I'm gonna fast forward off balance. I was off balance. There was no time for social time or a balance of proper friendships and women's opportunities to grow in my relationships with other women. You know, the spouse gets on the back burner. All these different things, I just was very running thin. Until 1 year ago, I actually spoke here on September 26, 1 year ago, I looked in my Instagram account. I did the healthy foods message, and I was in the middle of a situation where God was doing something that will forever, it forever changed me. And I'm glad I didn't speak on it last year because he was just priming the pump for how he spoke to me. Okay, next slide. The Lord pressed pause on my life 1 year ago. It's a whole other story, a whole other opportunity to give God glory. And Allie Beardsley she just left here. She has so much to do with my story, so I'd love you girls to maybe ask her about it. But here we go. We came home from a 16-day road trip. We went to the South for my husband to graduate from Clemson University, and got back home, finally ready to get back into my to-do list. And about 5 days after we were home last summer, it was just right before school started, about 3 days before school started, we heard a little glug glug in the back bathroom. And we ignored it. A couple hours later, we go to the back half of the house, and there was all squishy carpet. And what happened is it wasn't just a flood, it was black water. So black water leaked up through the back. We were renting a home in Mission Viejo for 7 years, and the back two bathrooms went all into the carpet, and we weren't able to go back because it was toxic. So long story short, our landlord dragged his feet, and we were displaced from our home. They found asbestos, they took time. I don't know if you've ever gone through a leak. Raise your hand if you've ever gone through a leak or any type of housing thing. That's good. St. Clemente homes, that's good. In Mission Viejo, it happens. But it took 26 days. And after 26 days of living in hotels and friends' homes that we borrowed their, you know, casita and were able to find place, we started the first day of school last fall from a hotel. And it was, oh, this is how the year's gonna go. The Lord, at that time, I was so frustrated because my serving, my doing had to stop. I couldn't get the things in my home to do. I couldn't go get my stuff. I didn't have the opportunity to even give of my heart to serve. I was the first one to put a meal train together. I was the first one to help babysit kids. I was the first one always in my sphere of influence as a stay-at-home mom to be there for everybody else. And my brain space was so insane that I literally just had to stop. And I retreated. And people who knew me knew that there was something, they kind of thought, why is she acting like that? But they knew something was big. I was unable to operate in my Martha, and it was making me crazy. The Lord paused. Okay, let's fast, next slide. God wanted to teach me something very life-giving. During this time, 26 days in, we decided instead of going back to our rental, because there was no move-in date of when we could get in, we decided instead of, that was pretty much our 30-day notice. So we gave him our 30 days, and we ended up moving out and stayed in a friend's house for 2 months. They were on a 5-month missions trip, and we were able to live in Ladera Ranch, which was a godsend from above, in a beautiful home. And we looked for a home to buy, and we bought our first home 1 year ago. We just had our 1 year anniversary. That's a miracle in itself. But during that 3-month period, once again, still not being able to do my things, I was a little bit more social, but I just didn't have the brain space. God was teaching me something. I believe that the Lord had to do something drastic to me in order to give me something life-giving, that I needed to find my identity, not in serving and giving and doing, but in who he made me to be, a child, a daughter of the King. See, I was doing all the right things. I was doing kingdom business. That's good stuff. But if that was becoming how people saw me, then I needed to do a self-check. I realized that I found my identity in doing, serving, and working, The busyness of life sucked me into a tornado. You see, I still included God, but I had focused way more attention on being a really good Martha and not enough Mary. And the theme of this is being, you cannot help the way you're wired. I'm wired to be a Mary. The world needs me, I'm wired to be a Martha, and the Lord needs both Martha and Marys. We're all wired a certain way. You can't change that, okay? I like to be busy. I like to be active. That's normal, okay? Some Marys just like to be still, but we are who we are, and that's good. That's a good thing. But in this society in Orange County, we have to learn to be more like Mary if you're Martha wired. Do you see what I mean? So more of Mary in a Martha-driven world. God placed us here. Orange County's good, right? Orange County's a good place to live. There's a lot of pressure. And so that's why we have to be aware and be mindful. Okay, next slide. I was living too close to the margins. Too close. And you know what? I've spoken on this topic before. I have to tell you, I actually knew it. I knew I was doing the right things, but I was actually not listening to what the Lord had. I said, oh, no, I'm good. I can do this, because if I just do this, it's only a little task. Oh, and that's just a little task. Oh, and that's just a little task. But before you know it, I had all these little tasks, and I have a husband who I was not giving the attention that he needed, and I had two kids. And all my kids were seeing me do is serve and serve and serve and then try to be super mom. I think I should have listened to the small voice the Lord was whispering to me, because he was saying, slow down. But I was saying, no, I don't like to slow down. Because if I slow down, I have to be okay with just being still. I don't want to be still. I don't like it because it makes, that's not, that the imprint's too deep, right? So this reminds me of the story of the Israelites being enslaved for 400 years. You see, they were trained in slavery. That's all they knew how to do. They were trained in busyness, in rigorous work, in constant activity. Those three words describe exactly what I was doing. I believe I was enslaved like the Israelites. I didn't know how to stop. I just kept going and going. I didn't know how to cease, to pause, and to rest. Living too close to the margins, booking my schedule from the end of the paper to the end of the other side of the paper. That's why those notebook papers have margins. Professors don't like you to write past the margins, do they, when we're in school? That's why they're there. You have to leave room to give. You have to leave room for yourself, room for your family, room for the things that God has called you to do for the right reasons. I am a girl who gets the job done yesterday. Without Martha's, nothing would get done. But Mary needed to come a little bit more to my forefront. Okay, next slide. So what I want to do is, that's the story that he was teaching me. I'm still a work in progress. But what is so awesome is that I find myself being more aware of my actions. And as soon as that temptation, I think, well, why do I want to commit to that? Do I want to say yes to that? Do I want to invite this person? Do I want to put this gathering together? Do I want to be a part of this Bible study? Different things would come up, and I have to do a self-check. Do I want to fill my plate? I have a part-time job now, and during the day I do opportunities like this and, you know, volunteer in my kids' classrooms and so forth. So do I want to jam it all in again and go back to the old ways? Here's the thing. I refuse to let what happened to us and our family 1 year ago be wasteful, because God doesn't give you opportunities like that to learn for 5 seconds and then forget what he did. He gives you markers in life to remember and then change. Lord, you gave me this trial. I don't want to go back to my old ways. I want to learn. What do you want to teach me? How do you want me to be more like you? How do you want me to be more of the daughter you've called me to be? The mom that you've called me to be, the sister, the friend, the wife, the role that God has you. So every time he does one of these kickers in my life, I think, what are you teaching me? I don't want to waste. I don't want to waste those hardships. That was extremely difficult for my family, extremely difficult on my anxiety level. My whole being was rocked. My career actually stopped. All my fitness, it stopped. Because I lost my gym, I lost everything. I had a home gym, and all my clients were in Mission Viejo. And so my career, my income, I couldn't do it. And how in the world am I going to counsel someone in health coaching when I was so loony? You know what I mean? It was like, no, but I really was. So I didn't even solicit myself because I knew that I just wasn't in the right place. After a trial, God processes you. So we're always in process, right? We're always growing. We're always in progress, right? We hope to be that way till we die. But let's say you're dealing with a hardship or a situation, and you know that, you know, it's hard. It's pulling at your heartstrings. It's affecting your marriage. It's affecting your well-being, your anxiety level, all those different things. And then there's a process that you go through. It's not overnight that you can say, oh, yeah, God taught me this. No, it took a year for him to teach it to me and for me to come up with strategies. When you know better, you do better, right? When you know better, then you do better, because I don't want to be a slave to the busyness and have people give me accolades for the things I do. I don't even need the accolades, number one. And number two, I want to have that identity, be confident in who he's called me to be. And I can say that confidently in 40s. I think one thing about public speaking is that you're able to be vulnerable and transparent. But if God's called me to do this, I bet someone else feels the same way. And that's my job, to say you're not alone. So the steps that we can take, and these are really, I do feel, very applicable to your life. If you want to take notes, you can. Let's go back to slide one, steps of godly living. Number one, stop and evaluate your life. What do my days look like? What fills my time? If you don't have a problem with putting dishes aside and chilling out, what are you spending your time with? Are you involving the Lord every day? Are you talking to him? Are you praying to him? Are you reading his word? No, we don't have to do this all day long, ladies. I'm not saying we have to be Marys and just put the dishes aside and sit on the couch with our coffee and have an 8-hour devotion. No, we've got stuff to do. I get it. But what I was realizing when we moved, basically we had our 3-bedroom home and we had to put everything we owned in one pod. So I got rid of half the contents of my house in one day. I know that's kind of a lot. I did not Craigslist it. I put it outside for free. And this was, we had older stuff, a lot of hand-me-downs and stuff. It wasn't like a nice, you know what I mean? I was okay with getting rid of grandpa's chair and stuff like that. I really was. It was not like the, you know, fancy Pottery Barn stuff by any means. But I was like, okay, God, this, we've got one day to get out, and two pods didn't fit on our driveway. So I literally got rid. But it was perfect because now I moved into half the size house and I didn't have room for all that stuff anyway, so it was perfect. But in that process, I realized I'm minimizing my dwelling place, and I got to minimize what I was doing during my day. I realized with my fitness and health coaching, I was on Facebook for so many hours a day trying to hustle my business, doing challenges, getting out there, doing videos, doing what they tell you to do to grow your business. Oh my goodness, it was literally sucking me dry. And it wasn't even like giving me a lot of profit. I was spinning my wheels. So I was like, well, that's going to stop. So I got off Facebook completely. And I'm not saying don't get off social media. I'm just saying for me, it was sucking me dry. I kept my Instagram account, but I realized, oh, I'm going to stop scrolling because that was another hour of my day just for me. This is not to say that anybody else has to change, but for my life, I had to evaluate what is taking up my time. Because, and I'll explain after how I got the teaching job, but I just didn't have the time for it anymore. So evaluate your day. Number two, step two is the next slide, is self-care is not a bad word. In your steps to godly living, evaluating your life and remembering self-care. Spending time with yourself for a moment, going for a walk with a friend, that's self-care, because if you need a little bit of connection with someone, that's part of your well-being. I'm someone that if I don't connect for 5 straight days with like at least one friend, I'll go insane. I have to, because I used to do Bible study on Thursday, and now I can't because I work, and it's at my church. I mean, I work, so I can't go to my church anymore, and that's hard. But I'm intentional by reaching out to a sister and saying, hey, will you go for a walk with me? And that fills my soul. And it helps me be able to give back to my students and then give back to others. So self-care. I don't know. I feel like sometimes that is a bad word. But it's not. Just so you know, self-care is emotional well-being, your spiritual well-being, your physical well-being. It's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay to take it a 30-minute run if you need it, or go to the gym. Like, I just want to make sure that if we take care of ourselves as moms and wives, we're able to give back 110% more to our families. But if you deplete that necessity of self-care, then we just give that much less to those that we love around us, okay? So, and it looks different. It's not just, don't just think exercise. It's eating well, having the wholeness, wellness from top of your head to the tips of your toes, inside and out. The next one, number three, the art of saying no. The art of saying no. I am a yes girl, and I've been a yes since I was a little girl, and I do not like to say no. People, my sphere of influence at my church, Saddleback Covenant, they're very surprised at the amount of things that I say no to now, and it's killing me because I don't like to let people down. I am a people pleaser from the core on up. I cannot help it. It's just how, you know, it was how I was raised, and it's a part of my being. But I have to learn for my well-being to not give in to the people-pleasing, and I need to say no for my family. And I'm very thankful that my 13-year-old especially is watching me. My little guy is watching me too, but my 13-year-old, he's like in my business, and he's aware. And I'm glad, because I want him to see mommy being faithful to my word. So when I say, I'm going to spend time with, you know, we're going to go to Big Air. We're going to go on a bike ride. We're going to, whatever it is, he knows I'm going to follow through, and my clients or other obligations are not going to take precedence over what I had told him. I want him to grow up and appreciate that aspect that mommy is saying no to things that maybe are not necessary. And I'm trying to be intentional with my time with him, with both my whole family, not just Simon, but everybody. Number four, fourth step, declutter your life. As I said before, all of our contents of our entire home was in one pod. And I learned when we moved back in how streamlining my life helped my brain. Sometimes when we have, you know, lots of clutter around the house, and with kids, you cannot help it. It's maybe at the end of the day when you're finally able to pick up everything. But a lot of clutter in our pantries, in our closets, in our fridge, in our paperwork. A lot of times clutter visually can kind of make our brains go a little wonky, okay? So decluttering our life, thinking, where in my life, in my household, can I maybe streamline? Maybe do a big Goodwill thing. I've had these pants for 5 years. I'm not going to fit in them. Goodbye. You know, like just things to kind of like evaluate, not just clothes. I had tons of knickknacks. I had things all over my house, you know, 48 frames all over the walls. I don't have that many walls now. My place is like this. It's like a little box. But it was great because it taught me decluttering really helped my brain space, and it helped me realize I don't need all that stuff. I just didn't need it anymore. Number five, be intentional with your activities and the day-to-day routine. Streamlining your life, pulling things off your plate, not committing to everyone and everything, and making time for Jesus. Okay, next slide. How this will impact you. And I just put, you will experience a newfound sense of freedom. And it's so awesome. I can say that when I go see my clients that I had before this all happened, they say, oh, you seem so different. And I'm like, really? What? I'm just doing my thing. I'm doing me. And I have one client. She said, no, there's something different about you. You're like calmer. And I'm like, oh. And I could like feel that. I started to reflect, and I thought, when I was in such a frenzy, I'm a pretty active hyper person anyway, but it's a difference when you have a peace, like a freedom, because I don't feel pulled in so many directions. And I have to say, that is so life-giving. I really value the time that I connect with my husband. I value the time where my brain is in it to win it with my 7-year-old and his little sight words. I value the time when I am on a family hike or bike and I'm watching my 13-year-old kick my booty. I love it, and I just feel like the Lord allowed that to happen so that all the swirling cray-cray around me would stop and my eyes could have a more focus, an intentional, purposeful focus on my family. Because you know what? I love mops. A lot of you have younger children. I'm in a season raising a teenager. I did not think it would come. It's here already. And I'm talking to my girlfriends who have kids that they're looking at colleges. It happens so fast. And I'm mindful of the women older than me. I pull nuggets of gold from them. Okay, what did you do when he started talking about girls? What did you do when he got his first cell phone? What? And I'm learning from these women older than me so that I can be equipped when I get into that season with tools to know how to raise a teenager. But you know what? The Lord is giving me this, and I will probably cry my face off when he gets to high school, is that we get our kids for this much. And we're called, and our purpose is to raise them so that when they're gone, when they're out of the house, they have wings to fly on their own. And I see that responsibility on my shoulders, and I don't want to have regret. I don't. I hear the baby crying, her little leg sucking. It's so cute. It goes by so fast. Being a mom is a gift from the Lord. And if you're a mom, because it's mothers of preschoolers, right? God chose you to be your kid's mom. He did not choose anybody else. If we can be responsible with our actions and the things that we put on our plate, and give the call that God has on our life, the best foot forward, the best we can give to be as healthy as we can be, to pour into our kids and equip them to be men and women of God that can lead families, then we have done our job well. So we do not want regrets. I don't want a regret. So when Simon graduates from high school and he chooses wherever he's gonna go, Simon's my big boy, and then when Ben does it, I just want the Lord to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I really do. I'm giving my job the best that I can. And with that said, I also don't want regrets that I'm going to halfway be a good wife. Now, I know I can't be the best wife and the best mom and the best teacher and all that. I get that, but I can certainly be more responsible with my actions. Because I don't want to, like, have the kids leave the house and say, oh, hi, Dave, I'm Jeannie. Remember, you married me a long time ago. Our kids are old, so let's get to know each other now. I don't want to do that. We're busy, right? Everyone's busy. You're busy when you have babies. You're busy when you have kids in college. You're busy when, I mean, we always can fill our plate. I talk to women who don't have kids. My pastor's wife, Dudley, is one of my mentors and beautiful women of God, so down to earth. We walk together. She said, she's 70, 71. She said, I'm still busy. You're still busy. She's got grandkids. She's retired. You're still busy. So we have to just own that. Okay, God, you've called us here. We don't live on a ranch out in the middle of nowhere. But equip us. Give us tools and strategies so that we can navigate through the waters of Orange County, being good moms, good wives, and good daughters of the Lord, where he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did a good job. You did a good job. And your kids are going to watch, and they're going to model, and they're going to be incorporated into those areas of your life, and they're going to pass that down. They're going to pass it down to their kids. It's just something to think about. I feel like I'm just seeing Simon, my first time in junior high, just growing up. I took a picture of him. We just had our year anniversary for the condo, and I took a picture of him on the first day we moved in. He was here, and then now he's up to here. And he sits on the, he's just like a dude. And I'm like, I took a picture of him. I sent to my girlfriend, I'm like, does he look like he's 16? It's just like, it's happening so fast. So I know the Lord's not gonna, you know, press pause. He's just gonna press fast forward. And my job is to, you know, own that well, own my job and my calling that God's had on my life. Okay, let's see if I did a next slide. One step at a time. Okay, I did this. I just said, don't rush the process. Pray that God guides you in your life, because everybody's life looks different. I think my underlining theme is pretty understandable to all ages and range, because we're all placed here. Don't compare to others. That is a huge thing. You won't ever measure up, but you will to Jesus. When I was a first-time mom, I was always comparing, well, that baby's walking and mine's not, or that baby's eating, or that baby's talking. And I was just constantly, I was like, oh my gosh, what a waste of my brain. Don't compare. Everybody's at a different place. We're all women, so we got that in common. That's for sure. But as far as like what our marriages look like, what kind of moms we are, you know what? You don't have to justify any of your actions. It's between you and your Lord, period. If you're parenting one way and you and your spouse feel that that's the right way, you own that, okay? And if there's like something funky in that, then you go talk to a pastor about it or a counselor. But we should never have to justify how we're how our marriage looks, and how we all should just not look at other people, okay? Ask the Lord what areas need to be worked on and what you need to give over to him. And I'm doing that now, and especially in wellness. I think that he's always doing something. That was kind of a big deal a year ago, but he's always got me in some process. And I just want to keep growing. I think of our faith as, and ourselves as kind of like an onion. So one layer at a time, it goes down. And each layer, like some things sting a little more. But can you get that? It's like we're going to be whole. And that's what he wants us to be. Proceed with the thought that this is not an overnight process. This is one day, one change, one choice, and one step at a time. And I just know that there's freedom in saying no. I think that I've had opportunities to speak and share my story, and some people aren't bold enough to get up in front of a group of people. I am, and I'm bold enough to say it on social media, because I believe he's called me to be a voice of his goodness. And there's a verse that says, Psalm 66:16, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. And I just feel like if we can, as sisters in Christ, be mindful of how he's working in our lives, what he's doing, keep our eyes up and out rather than down, but keep our eyes looking, expectant. Who said that? Expectant. Who spoke this morning? Who's the message? Yes, it was so good. The Lord says, pray with expectation. Lord, I know you're going to meet me. I'm praying and expectant. I don't want to do day-to-day business as usual. I want you to move heavily. I want you to move heavily, Lord. Don't let me just be Sunday church. Uh-uh. I want my walk to be my talk, and my talk to be my walk, and I want each and every day to grow more in you. Nothing wasted. The good, the bad, the hurt, nothing wasted in our lives. So I hope that you feel encouraged after hearing just some of the things that I went through. There's freedom in saying no. There's freedom in changing and reprioritizing to put things on your plate and to take other things off. Freedom in just being with Jesus, listening to him, talking to him, walking with him. There's freedom in having your identity in Christ, which is something I learned. Not in what I do or what I can perform, how hard I can work. And I, believe me, girl, ladies, I have to day-to-day remind myself, because I'm a worker. I cannot change the desire to work, but I can change my heart and how I view myself. There's freedom in knowing that you don't have to fit the mold of this world and be constantly and incessantly busy. Freedom in knowing and believing that you are a beautiful, adored, beloved, cared for daughter of the King, the one true King. We need Marthas, and we definitely need Marys, but we need Jesus most of all, hands down. So that's what he's done for me, and I would love to just close in a quick prayer. Is that okay? Okay. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. I thank you for the hardship that you brought me a year ago, and that it did something in my life that pivoted my walk with you, and I will not waste that opportunity to share with others. I thank you for the listening ears, these beautiful women in this room. Lord God, I pray a blessing over their lives. I pray that you would speak to them, Lord, even as they drive home, anything that would resonate, any type of thing that I said, whether my history or the strategies, or just if, even if one, they take home one point, I pray that you would help them just to be mindful, God, that we have one chance on earth and you've called us to be, to grow in you. And I pray that you would give them all of the tools and the strength. God, lift them when they're weary, when they're tired from, you know, sleepless nights, God, when their kids are sick. Lord, I pray that you would cover them with a hedge of protection. I pray you'd bless their marriages. You'd bless them in their role as a mom, God. You'd give them wisdom and discernment to know how to train their children in the way that you see fit for them. I pray that you would bless all of the children that are represented in this room, Lord God, from the babies to the toddlers to the teenagers to the adult children, God. I pray that you would protect them. And I pray you'd equip these moms with everything they need to raise them to be godly men of women. Give us tools, all of us, God. We're all in progress. We're all trying to figure this life out, and we need you to direct us. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace, and I thank you for this beautiful group of women, God, that they have each other weekly to grow in you. And I pray that you would bless their friendships with each other and just bless this entire PCC MOPS, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.